Good morning and welcome to Redeemer. We're glad you're here and hope that you will join us often for worship. Remind you that we will be celebrating Holy Communion during this worship service and invite you to get your elements for communion ready there in your homes to celebrate with us. I will remind you we still have October 4th as our target date for reopening for in-person worship. Our council meets later tonight, and that will be affirmed or delayed, depending on what the council thinks it's time to do. Don't forget that we are in the middle of our stewardship emphasis. We are family. And if you go to our Facebook page, you will see the most recent video that our crazy stewardship committee has done. And so we invite you to look at that as well. This week, you will be receiving your estimate of giving cards. We will be bringing those back on October 4th, or please mail them back. We're not going to be able to have a consecration like we typically do, so we either bring it or mail it here to the church office so that we can, it will assist us in our budget planning. I've had some requests. People are wondering about how they may be able to help folks who are suffering in the wake of recent hurricanes. You can mark any contributions to Redeemer and mark them as ELCA Disaster Response or Hurricanes or something like that. We will send them to ELCA Disaster Response, where 100% of the donation goes to help those who are in need. Or you can go to elca.org and find how to give to Disaster Response right there. This week, Vicar Amanda and Paul Austin and I met on over the internet with our new Synod Bishop, Bishop Abisher, and she asked me to greet you on her behalf to let you know she is praying for our congregation as she prays for all congregations, but also to invite you to her installation service, which is also on October 4th. I'm inviting you to join in online, by the way. It's an online service. None of us are going to be there. And that's October 4th at 3 o'clock. You're invited to tune in through the Synod website and find instructions on how to get to that. But then also, all the people of our Synod are invited to be in procession with her. They're inviting you at the service to take a selfie and send it in, and that will be our procession for that that installation of our new bishop. So just I'm fulfilling what she asked me to do. She said to greet you and to invite you to that. So there you go. Now it is my duty to turn it over to Amanda. Vicar Amanda, your turn.
Pastor Gary, is it your duty or your obligation?
Yes.
So both, huh?
Yes.
Well, so some exciting things. We are getting Faith Launch up and lifted off and going. It's taken us a little longer because the post was a little late with our curriculum. So we're working on that. If you have a child that is between the ages of 2 and 6th grade, please go to the link that we have sent out via email. I'll post it in the comments again today. It's in various places. To sign up so that we know who is involved and who is wanting to be involved. But everybody's welcome. And we have packets that are getting put together and hopefully delivered today. Also, we have book study today. We're in our second week of studying the book Native by Caitlin Curtis. All are welcome to that as well. Even if you didn't read for the week, come and join us anyway, have discussion and fellowship with folks there. So I think those are all my announcements, Pastor Gary.
Okay.
Unless there's something that you think I forgot.
No, it is now your obligation to turn it over to me.
Is it my obligation? Okay.
Or duty.
It is my duty and obligation and great honor to turn it back over to you.
Thank you. Let us prepare for our worship. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us and all of creation. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. faithful God, have mercy on us. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We turn from your loving embrace and go our own ways. We pass judgment on one another before examining ourselves. We place our own needs before those of our neighbors. We keep your gift of salvation to ourselves. Make us humble. Cast away our transgressions and turn us again to life in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God hears the cries of all who call out in need. And through his death and resurrection, Christ has made us his own. Hear the truth that God proclaims. Your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. Led by the Holy Spirit, live in freedom and newness to do God's work in the world. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you show perpetual loving kindness to us, your servants. Because we cannot rely on our own abilities, grant us your merciful judgment and train us to embody the generosity of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Question today, and kind of a little riddle for you all. So I have two pieces of paper, and I want you to tell me which one is bigger. Which one do you think is bigger, COVID choir? You can't tell? Which one do you think is bigger? Which one looks bigger?
I think the bottom one's bigger.
I think it's them.
You think it's them is bigger? Okay. So Pastor Gary and Krista say them. What do you think at home? You think them? Okay, so what happens if we switch it? Which one looks bigger now? What do you think, COVID choir?
Us looks bigger.
You think us looks bigger? What do you guys think at home? Does us look bigger? You know, when we move them back and forth, it's like an optical illusion that the bottom one typically looks bigger for most people. But you know what? They are exactly the same. They're exactly the same. They're the same size. And so sometimes when we look at things, we might see more of something for one group and less of something for another group. And I was thinking about God's love. And sometimes we might think, or we might see, oh, God must love them more than God loves us. Or sometimes we might think, oh, God loves us much more than God could ever love them. But you know what? I think that might be an optical illusion, just like this is, because God is a God of love, not just for us and not just for them. God is a God of love for everybody, and God's love is the same for all people, because we're all God's children. We all have God's fingerprints all over us because God created us, all of us, throughout history and in the entire world. And what's really, really special is that God is so big and so good and so great that God has enough love for all people everywhere. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for your love. Thank you for loving all people, loving us and loving them and loving us. Help us to love all people like you love all people. And all God's children said, Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Jonah. When God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush, so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry about the bush? And he said, Yes, angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let my heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood. When my heart is hard, break the stone away. When my heart is cold, warm it with the day. When my heart is lost, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart be good soil.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard.
After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. Calvin Coolidge, the 30th president of the United States, was popularly known as Silent Cal, who often didn't say much and typically used the fewest words possible whenever he could. One time at a party, a woman walked up to him and said, "My husband bet me I couldn't get 3 words out of you." Coolidge replied, "You lose," and walked away. 3 words. That's what comes to mind whenever we encounter our gospel reading today. It's a story that we remember because of 3 words. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who needed some laborers for his vineyard, and so he went out at sunrise and hired some, offering them the usual daily wage. Then at 9 o'clock, he went out and hired some more, telling them, "I will pay you what is right." Then he did the same at noon, and then at 3 o'clock. And finally, at 5 o'clock, with just an hour left in the day, he hired some more. Then when the time came to pay them, he paid them all the same daily wage. And suddenly the 3 words that help us remember this parable of Jesus come into our minds, just like they came into the minds of those who had been hired at sunrise and worked all day. That's not fair. It's not fair to pay those who worked just 1 hour the same as those who worked all day. We stand with those workers in their complaint. But here's the thing. And if you don't hear anything else today, hear this. There's nothing fair about grace. Remember the beginning of the parable? Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like." The kingdom of heaven where our rules of fairness don't apply and God's rule of grace does. Maybe we get so caught up in what's fair and not fair that we forget the end of the story. Jesus continues. When the workers complain, the owner of the vineyard tells them, "We agreed for a daily wage, and that's what I gave you. Why do you begrudge my generosity?" And the point is that we have a generous God. We have a God who lavishes grace on us and gives it out liberally. And it's not fair doesn't play into it. However, a lot of other three-word phrases do. I'll be there, God says to us in love, assuring us that God will be with us in all of life, in our joys, our sorrows, our troubles, our happy times, our fears, our worries, our struggles, our griefs. God is with us and before us in all of them. We are not forsaken or left on our own. God is with us. I forgive you, God says to us, restoring the relationship we have with God in spite of the hurt we have caused others, in spite of the hurt and guilt inside of us, in spite of how we have turned against God and acted in pursuit of our own aims instead of God's. I forgive you, God says tenderly, hurling our guilt away from us and making us new. Where are you? God says to us gently, entering all those troubles and worries and fears and sorrows to be with us where we are, to understand where we are in life, and to answer with care and compassion. And these three words may also remind us that God seeks us no matter how far we have strayed and wandered from God's way. And then God says another three words. Talk to me. Inviting us into a relationship where we share our lives and give over our burdens. In prayer is another way God is with us, assuring us of God's closeness always. I hear you. Three more words that soothe us and help us to know that we are not alone, that our words are not just aimed at the ceiling or into empty sky, but that God does indeed listen. And more, God hears us, hears the unspoken words, the unuttered pains, unvoiced fears, the inexpressible doubts. God receives all these and draws near in love. Eat and drink, God says in three words, inviting us to join in union with God and with each other, taking life and forgiveness and love into our bodies and receiving a fresh start, loved and new. You are mine, God says to us, claiming us, holding us, giving us belonging and a place with God forever. The world's three-word phrase is, it's not fair. But we aren't called to be part of that world. Maybe we walk too often with those who were hired at the beginning of the day and focus on fairness, when the real call is to walk with those hired at 5 o'clock and to know the inexpressible joy of grace. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. By the way, there's one more three-word phrase that counters it's not fair, and they are the most important three words of all. God looks at each of us, at all of us, and says, I love you. Amen.
As the body of Christ, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God of the morning light, when we come to you early in the day, you receive us with joy and celebration. You rejoice in your creation. Help us to rejoice in the world around us. Stir us to care for all people in society. Inspire us to be good stewards and protectors of the plants, animals, oceans, mountains, and all the earth. Lord, in your mercy. God of the bountiful earth, you call us into community, not only for our sake, but because you exist in perfect relationship, Creator, Christ, and Spirit. Give us hearts for caring for each other. Help us to go beyond just the people we know. Drive us to reach out to strangers, to newcomers, to those seeking safety, the hungry, and the suffering. Lord, in your mercy. God of life and light of the world, you are with us in all of history, in all occasions. When the sun is high in the sky, when tensions rise, when conflict creeps in, and when frustrations overcome us, you are there. You never leave us. Help us to feel your presence. Guide us to understand your love for us, but also your love for all others in the world. Stir love in our hearts for those we find hard to love. Lord, in your mercy. God of the days, the years, and the ages, you are faithful through all circumstances. While we may wallow in war, struggle with injustice, and drown in sin, you, O God, are with us. You are steady and sure. Grip our hearts with your grace and mercy. Lift our eyes to see the senselessness of war and violence. Open our ears to hear the cries of your children who have been oppressed for far too long, and move our hands and feet to do something about it. Lord, in your mercy. God of the day's end, as day turns into night and darkness covers creation, you are in the twilight of the stars. Your comfort is there for us through times of darkness in our lives, through pain and sickness, in death and into new life. Be present with those that mourn and grieve, those sick and facing diagnoses, those drawing close to death and new life. We pray especially for those we name now. Lord, in your mercy. God of grace and mercy, you hold us all close to you. There is no us or them, for we are all your children, your creations. Remind us often that the ways of the world are not your ways. Pour into us the grace, mercy, and love that you desire for us to pour out to others. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ is with you always.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, you created a world in which all might be satisfied by your abundance. You dined with Abraham and Sarah, promising them life, and fed your people Israel with manna from heaven. You sent your Son to eat with sinners and to become food for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life given for us and his rising from the grave, we await his coming again to share with us the everlasting feast. By your Spirit, nurture and sustain us with this meal. Strengthen us to serve all in hunger and want. And by this bread and cup, make of us the body of your Son. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, that you have once again fed us with food beyond compare, the body and blood of Christ. Lead us from this place, nourished and forgiven, into your beloved vineyard to wipe away the tears of all who hunger and thirst, guided by the example of the same Jesus Christ and led by the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. peace. Serve the Lord.